Pitch driven there towards left center field. Going back is Halstead. Back is Short. Two hits in the regional for Blakeburg. No ground balls for the Big Orange. And Tennessee gets one back. Opposite field to left center. And for Blake, long ball number 14. Run batted in number 32. We're playing the hits. That was from last night's game. So, as you can see, third error of the night, first on the Ball Network. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Tennessee advances to the Super Regional by holding off a late rally by Georgia Tech after first having to rally with a six-run ninth inning. Vince Ferrara, how about that? Four runs in the ninth last night to take a one-run lead and push it to five, and then tonight not getting the first upper hand until the top of the ninth.
And so thought we would go ahead and sprinkle in a couple of cuts. Loved that moment right there because you just had everything set up. That was when Tennessee had finished winning all three games in the Knoxville Regional, and we were hoping for a highlight against Georgia Tech, wound up with one against Campbell. But, hey, it was all good. That was such a fun weekend as Tennessee won a regional at home for the second straight season.
Yeah, and the Georgia Tech game a little bit different than the Campbell game.
Yes.
But still, it was exciting, and it's going to be a lot more home run calls of Blake Burke going deep in a Tennessee uniform.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question in that regard. And what we're going to do over the last half of today's show is do what we do, and that's the All-Star Salute to Baseball. We're going to drop in a number of clips from this year's Tennessee baseball season. And if you happen to hear, or if you didn't, we recently were blessed with an hour of time with Luke Lipsius, Evan Russell, and Redmond Walsh. And what we're going to do is bring you snippets of those conversations over these last 2 hours. So we'll do that, and we'll also have what have been some of the classic clips that we've played, either huge moments in Major League history, songs about baseball, you name it. It's something that we really enjoy doing to just kind of send everyone off into the fourth, and we hope that everyone has a safe and happy 4th of July. If you are traveling, best of luck, that there are zero interruptions, whether it's traffic, whether it's getting on the plane and your flights being able to get all the way from point A to point B. Vince, we hope everybody has a safe and happy 4th of July.
Yeah, definitely take your time as much as possible. And baseball is a big part of the summer, big part of the 4th of July. So it makes a lot of sense to celebrate this and give it the proper salute heading into the holiday.
Also, it doesn't mean we turn a blind eye towards news, but Vince, there was a Tennessee target that has made his choice, and he is not going to be attending the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, it's Jeremiah Cobb, who was a running back that Tennessee was after. He was on the short list. He was a finalist, had Tennessee in the final three. We asked Brent Hubbs about the product from Montgomery Catholic in Montgomery, Alabama, and he today announced his commitment to Auburn. And Brent Hubbs thought that he would go to Auburn. Brent Hubbs favored Tennessee in a number of the other decisions. So there's a lot of them coming up here over the next few days, the 4th of July weekend, and some in the mid-July. And Tennessee's in good position for a number of others. So that's not a surprise commit to another school, but still, I think Tennessee is going to have a nice little run here coming up after this Cobb decision.
Do want to remind you that we're here at Freedom Motors, and you can come on out, get registered for the big ticket. We'll have two qualifiers from today's registration, and you could be the owner of season tickets with a parking pass to Tennessee football, to season tickets for Tennessee Volunteers basketball, to Lady Vols basketball, to Tennessee baseball, to Tennessee softball, as well as the Ice Bears. All of those season tickets are up for grabs, two different winners. So we'll be giving away the grand prize in less than 2 weeks. But we're here at Freedom Motors, and there's so much going on. You've got live music. You can enter to win a fantastic grill. They've got refreshments. You've got food vendors on hand. There'll be axe throwing. And you've got the cornhole tournament. It was raining beanbags just a couple of minutes ago. You've got a cornhole tournament that'll start at 6 o'clock. It's just a $5 entry fee. So, again, we are here today at Freedom Motors, 7665 Maynardville Pike. And Freedom Motors is now your one-stop shop for anything on four wheels. Looking for a guaranteed low-mileage sedan or a pickup for your family? Freedom Motors has them. Need a cargo, service truck, or utility van for your work or business? Freedom Motors has a great selection with new inventory that's coming in every day. Freedom Motors has local credit union financing and all come with 90-day warranties and free delivery. You can visit online at freedommotorstn.com or see them on Maynardville Pike here in Halls. That's where we are today. Freedom Motors, keeping freedom rolling. And normally when we've done this, I like to close with this number, but I thought we would flip it up and open with it today. And we know that it has been a struggle for the Chicago Cubs of late. Over the last couple of years, as they're going through a transition from their core group of players that helped them win the World Series to the next wave of great Cubbies. But Steve Goodman wrote perhaps my very favorite of all songs related to baseball, and that is a dying Cub fan's last request.
By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold, an old Cub fan lay dying. In his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. And on his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League. Told his friends, you know the law of averages says anything will happen that can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won a National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. The Cubs made me a criminal, sent me down a wayward path. They stole my youth from me, that's the truth. I'd forsake my teachers to go sit in the bleachers in flagrant truancy. And then one thing led to another, and soon I discovered alcohol, gambling, dope, football, hockey, lacrosse, tennis, but what do you expect when you raise up a young boy's hopes and then just crush them like so many paper beer cups, year after year after year, after year after year after year after year after year, till those hopes are just so much popcorn for the pigeons beneath the L tracks to eat. He said, you know, I'll never see Wrigley Field anymore before my eternal rest. So if you have your pencils and your scorecards ready, I'll read you my last request. He said, give me a doubleheader funeral in Wrigley Field on some sunny weekend day, no lights. Have the organ play the national anthem, and then a little na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. Make six bullpen pitchers carry my coffin, and six groundskeepers clear my path. Have the umpires bark me out at every base in all their holy wrath. It's a beautiful day for a funeral. Hey, Ernie, let's play too. Somebody go get Jack Brickhouse to come back and conduct just one more interview. Have the Cubbies run right out into the middle of the field. Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly. Give everybody two bags of peanuts and a frosty malt, and I'll be ready to die. Build a big fire on home plate out of your Louisville Slugger baseball bats, and toss my coffin in. Let my ashes blow in a beautiful snow from the prevailing 30-mile-an-hour southwest wind. When my last remains go flying over the left field wall, we'll bid the bleacher bums adieu. And I will come to my final resting place out on Waveland Avenue. The Dying Man's friends told him to cut it out. They said, stop it, that's an awful shame. He whispered, don't cry, we'll meet by and by near the Heavenly Hall of Fame. He said, I've got season's tickets to watch the Angels now. So that's just what I'm going to do. He said, but you, the living, you're stuck here with the Cubs. So it's me that feels sorry for you. And he said, oh, play that Lonesome Losers tune. That's the one I like the best. Closed his eyes and slipped away. Scotty, it was the Dying Cub fans' last request, so here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy cubs with their yo-ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave.
I would like to present to you Ernie Betts. Thank you very much, Commissioner, for the fine introduction. We got the set in. Sunshine, fresh air. We got the team behind us. So let's play two.
The Northside diehard stole the show. The land of Wrigley's in my soul. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Roll all day long.
Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. America's team, so I've been told. Come on, Cubbies, let the good times roll. Don't stop until you run. The bleacher bums are gonna have their fun. Roll all day long. It feels so good when you're home. Let's hear it for the Sunshine Boys.
You can't do no wrong.
On the road they beat them night or day. When they're at home they play the natural way. Come on, Cubs, hey, 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 hey. Sunshine Boys,
you can't do no wrong.
All your own clubs really been tough. Everybody knows they got the right stuff. Come on, people, how about those Cubs? Roll all day long. Roll all day long. Roll all day long.
Well, people, how about those Cubs?
The land of Wrigley, and of course, that is celebration, obviously, of what goes on the north side in terms of Chicago's baseball scene. And obviously, with what happened in 2016, we know that somewhere Steve Goodman was smiling.
Yeah, but brilliant, brilliant writing. And just an awesome time, awesome to revisit that each year.
When Tennessee was at the College Baseball Classic in Houston, Tennessee, the Volunteers faced Texas. Keith Moreland is part of the broadcast crew for the Longhorns College Baseball, and I saw him in the press box, and I almost said, hey, you can drop a routine fly ball. I said, because they moved him behind the plate, from behind the plate out into the outfield, and it certainly was madcap adventures that ensued. But anyhow, I just wonder how many times he has to grin and bear it when it comes to people asking him about that very specific lyric.
Including other broadcasters.
Yes.
Which he spared him, at least.
Yes. I told myself, don't do it. Don't even jokingly do it. But anyhow, always enjoy that song because, again, it's my very favorite in regards to baseball with the incredible penmanship of one Steve Goodman.
Going back to the fence, and Luke Lipsius has Tennessee on the board. Pitch hit high in the air into left field. Cumbis on the track. The center fielder, actually, though, will make a leap at the wall and can't come up with it. And Jordan Beck has a home run for Tennessee. Drew Gilbert hits that ball a ton in the air into right field. Clark going back to the track. He might have room, but no. A leap at the fence comes up empty. And how about that? There's the TriStar for you. Back to back to back.
Heck of a start to the series in Starkville as Tennessee went back to back to back to just jump all over the Bulldogs in Route 2, a series sweep against the defending national champs this year. That was Week 10 of SEC play. With Vince Ferrara, I'm John Wilkerson. And why don't we go ahead and hear a little bit from Luke Lipsius. Joined us earlier this week and just wanted to put together a couple of the highlights from the conversation. Vince certainly had a blast talking with the now former Vol.
Yeah, he's tremendous. So much fun as a player, really smart, and the epitome of a great student-athlete that took advantage of his time on campus.
So here are parts of our conversation with Tennessee's Luke Lipsius.
It was an awesome moment as Tennessee won its first ever SEC tournament championship in Hoover that there's the old guard, Redmond Walsh, Evan Russell, Luke Lipsius, holding that championship trophy. It's my favorite image, I think, from this season, and I'm wondering, what was it like to have that moment with those two guys?
You know, I made sure to get a picture with them, too, because they have been along this ride with me the longest. You know, it's just one of those things where you have a vested interest. You know, you have all these experiences that no one else on the team has, just being on the team for this long. And, you know, it was absolutely amazing to share that moment with them. And then especially with Jeffrey Wood, our trainer, yep, who's been around for 20-odd years, to share the moment with him. I think he was the most excited out of all of us. I think he started crying. He said, that's my first one. And we're like, we're happy we could get it for you, Wood. But you just invest so much into this game, into this team, and to see it pay off like it did with those guys being on the team with me and everything. It was just an amazing experience. And I'm so happy that I was able to tag along for the ride with them, you know.
Say something, if you would, what it's been like to get to know Evan Russell and watch how hard he's worked to make himself what he has been for Tennessee.
Yeah, well, so he outworks basically everyone on the team. You know, if he sets his mind to it, it's going to happen. And he's one of those guys that you can look up to that the younger guys can look up to, too, because he's going to put everything he has into everything he does. And not only that, he's just a great guy to be around, you know, really good to just talk to if you want to laugh. You always go to him. It seems like he always laughs at your jokes, too. So he makes you feel really good about yourself. But, you know, you combine just a great personality with a fantastic work ethic, and you get Evan Russell. And you know, it's awesome that he's kind of Mr. Knoxville, Mr. Tennessee, and that the fan base loves him, too. And because he is a really great guy, and he deserves everything that he gets. And I just wish him the best of luck in whatever he tries to do in the future. And I know it's going to be successful.
What about fellow Southpaw as well as brother in aerospace, Redmond Walsh?
Yeah, he's my fellow nerd. You know, it was awesome because we not only played together, but we took a lot of the same classes. And I think that was great just to get through college with engineering classes, how hard they are, to have another person to share whatever you want with, to like help you out through stuff. It was great to have him along for the ride. And he's another absolutely great guy. He deserves everything he's gotten, you know, because you come in, he's a lefty, throws mid to upper 80s. You know, it's not overpowering, but I mean, he's got a lot of like it. I don't know, when he gets on the mound, you know, he's gonna get outs, and you're like, well, how? And he just has something. And so it's so awesome to see where he's come. You know, he was his freshman year, he was out with Tommy John. And it he's another guy that he's earned everything he's gotten. Great work ethic, great guy to be around. You know, he's. We call him Grandpa on the team because you go to him if you just want to like hang out, have a good conversation. But, you know, those two guys, just great guys overall, and I just love them to death.
Was it disappointing that we never got to see Luke Lipsius, left-handed pitcher?
You know, my dad would say yes. I think it was maybe once a week. He's always like, hey, you want to try pitching? And I'm like, no, Dad. I was all right in high school, and it probably won't translate. Fun fact, sophomore year, I actually threw like two bullpens just in case we needed me. But no, I don't think I would want to be a pitcher for my arm. I don't think it would be able to hold up. Plus, I'd be throwing like, I don't know, like 79.
You with 34 home runs. I know that as an aerospace engineer, things that be symmetrical are really big for you. So what's it like? Wore the number 40 your entire time at Tennessee, hit 40 home runs, mm-hmm. the first ball to ever do it.
So that record's cool. I think it's really cool. The company that I share, of course, Russ is right behind me. Then Helton, being him, was absolutely amazing. The day that Russ and I, it was either tied or surpassed him. He posted something on social media, said records were meant to be broken. I thought that was so cool because Helton's been around. He's a really great guy. I love him. But then no matter what happens, because I think that record will be broken sometime, probably soon in the future with the guys we have. But I think no matter what, nobody can take away from me is that number 40 hit 40 homers. And I think that's just one of those things that I'll always have to my name. That's just really cool.
That is really cool. And then also the fact that you you set the single season Lipsius family record at the University of Tennessee.
Yep. I think after the, what was it, that Saturday game when I got 18, I texted Andre. I said, suck it. just a little brother on brother fun. But yeah, I'll have that too, even though. Yeah, it's just one of those things. We'll be able to joke about it later on, but it is one of those funny things because I thought it was happening 2021. Yeah, the 2021 season, I had 15 going yep. into the regional, all that, but it didn't happen. But yeah, it's one of those things that I beat him out, and I can always have that against him.
So Luke Lipsius, again, could not have asked for more fun during the hour that he spent with us earlier this week. And boy, Vince, that... those would be big shoes to fill in so many different ways.
Yeah, because he impacted his teammates. He impacted the program. There's just such a great appreciation from not only Tony Vitello, but Josh Elander, Frank Anderson, that entire staff, of what he brought and how he elevated other people, kept people positive. And, you know, the perseverance he showed to stick it out and continue to get better every single year. Have fun. That's the example you want of enjoying your college experience.
Here it is. Driven in the air towards left. Christian Scott at the warning track. A leap at the fence. Did he make the catch? He did. He robs a home run off the bat of Judd Babian. And that's the ball game. Went high, reaching above the fence to take one away from the co-leader of the SEC in the long ball category. And in the bottom of the 11th, 1, 2, 3, go the Gators. Time to break out the big orange brooms once again. In Gainesville, Tennessee says, hello, win column for the 37th time. And for the first time, an SEC team is 17-1 in conference play. Give all three in Gainesville to the big orange. Final score, Tennessee 6, Florida 4. This is Tennessee baseball.
What a trip to Gainesville. Of course, Vince, you could also say what a trip to Starkville, what a trip to Nashville, what a trip to Oxford, what a trip to Hoover.
Tennessee did not lose a single game in any of those SEC locales this season.
Incredible. That one tasted especially good.
Yeah,
right?
Because you were no hit into the seventh inning.
Yep.
And you were down four. Down three going into the ninth.
Right.
And yet, with two out, you're down two and have nobody on. And it was the two-run single by Christian Moore, and then two innings later, the two-run home run by Christian Moore, and then that was the last out, the incredible catch by Christian Scott, who is going to run it back, as they say, for one more year in the orange and white.
Yeah, and it just shows, just with some of the highlights that we've played and more to come, how many different people contributed, how many different players contributed to the success this year. It just wasn't a few guys coming through with heroics all the time. It was a lot of different guys, offensively, defensively, and on the mound.
And for a different kind of heroics, we will highlight that the winner this year, in fact, it was yesterday, of the hot dog eating contest on the starting lineup was none other than Tyler Ivins. So you were going to say?
First ever victory, I believe, in said contest.
Yes. So to help him celebrate his ginormous accomplishment, as well as recognize his favorite team being in first place in the National League East, why don't we go ahead and meet the Mets?
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York. And the people on the streets, where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue, so hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball club, the Mets of New York Town. Right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really knocking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York Town.
Meet the Mets, and just part of our All-Star salute to baseball. And Vince, it has been remarkable to watch the Mets do what they've done. And I mean, New York just simply owning the sport of baseball right now in a couple of different ways.
Yeah, with what the Yankees are doing, and then good for the Mets too. I know they've been through an awful lot, as Mr. Ivins can attest. But look, I bet there's a little bit of, all right, when are we going to screw this up? Hopefully not from their standpoint, but we'll see.
Yeah, and for those that I love this bit of trivia, and several people I know already know it, but when the Mets came to be, that was when the Giants and the Dodgers, they had left town earlier to go to the West Coast. But as they were the last to arrive to the New York scene that is Major League Baseball, they also wanted to celebrate all three previous tenants in the city of New York. So the pinstripes came from the Yankees. The interlocking NY was a tribute to the Giants, and the blue that they wear is the Dodger blue.
Yeah.
So just love the fact that as the Mets arrived in the early 60s, that was how they said, we want to say thank you to those that came before us in the Big Apple, and that's exactly how those aspects of the Mets uniform came to be. The 0-2. Swing and a miss. That's right, swing and a miss. And that's the ball game. Break out the big orange brooms. Tennessee, for the first time in the history of the series, comes to Oxford and leaves with three big wins in their big orange back pocket. What a trip to Oxford it was. Who knew at the time that that Tennessee, which was number one in perfect game, would become a consensus number one the next week. And Vince spent essentially 3 months as the top team in college baseball.
Yeah, incredible. I don't know that we saw that sweep or the kind of season Tennessee had coming, but you were taking in all of it along the way, and that was quite the statement at the time. And that really was what put Tennessee on the map nationally. We had a chance to see how good they were. People wondered just how good they could be. But that was a statement that that reverberated nationally in college baseball.
Yeah, Ole Miss would struggle at one point, as we've talked about several times. number of times is the fact that they made it. They fell to 7-14, and then, of course, came on with a furious rally, made it into the NCAA tournament, and won the College World Series, their first men's title. But congratulations to the Ole Miss Rebels. But that was the last out, as Redmond Walsh got the last out for Tennessee against Ole Miss. Why don't we go ahead and bring you comments from Evan Russell as he joined us last week as we, of course, continue with our all-star salute to baseball.
You played a lot of positions at Tennessee, second base, third base, left field, right field, and then you go to catcher your last season. How difficult was that transition to catcher?
You know, I tried to transition to catcher my freshman year, but it was not going very well, and I think a key part of that was just me trying to make the team. I was just trying to find a spot anywhere I could. So I wasn't really bought in fully to catching. I was just bought into making the team, you know, and there was only 36 guys on the roster, or 36 guys on the team. 35 guys could make the roster, and I was worried about not making it. So that shows where, you know, my thought process with the coach and my relationship with the coaches have come. You know, the different mentality that has, you know, changed throughout my 5 years of trying to make the team and then eventually trying to win a national championship with my team. So I think if I would have spent a little more time focusing on catching, even when if it started out as struggling at the beginning, I think that would have, you know, ended up changing my entire career. But it was awesome to be a part of a winning team and a part of helping the pitching staff that we had, and also just being able to turn myself into an SEC catcher within basically 6-7 months.
And did you feel like you got better as the season went as a catcher?
Oh, 100%. You know, I remember the second week, probably nobody even noticed it. Chase Dollander threw a slider and it hit me in the mask. It didn't even touch off my glove, and the guy swung and it hit me right in the mask, and I'm sure people thought it was a foul ball, but it was just me, you know, not being skilled and being nervous and stuff. So, yeah, I definitely got a little more comfortable, a lot more comfortable. I improved a little bit, and, you know, the relationships with my pitchers, it improved, and being able to talk to them about, you know, I was trying to help them out as much as I could, and they were trying to help me out as much as they could with guys on the bases and stuff. And I think that can kind of improved drastically throughout the year.
When the trophy has been presented to Tennessee, there's you with Luke Lipsius and Redmond Walsh. It was just a fantastic picture of the super seniors, and to me, it might be the picture that I think best entails so much of the season. Now, granted, you had so many outstanding competitors and that were a part of it, but to me, I just love that image. And what has it been like to be lockstep with those two for your entire Tennessee career?
You know, there's a lot of people that say a great program, you have to have young talent, but you also have to have old, you know, leadership and guys that have been through it. And, you know, myself, Luke Lipsius, and Redmond Walsh, I'd say we've been through it, and we've seen the highs, we've seen the lows, we've seen everything. So, you know, whenever Redmond Walsh first got on campus, or whenever the coaches got there, the new coaching staff, they thought Redmond was a manager. You know, and if you looked at him still on the mound, you would still think he's a manager. But, you know, he, for some reason, man, whenever he's on there, he gets it done. I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, the big moment was not, you know, too big for him. And he would come in there and he would use, you know, certain pitches that he has to benefit, you know, the team and himself. And, you know, he was a guy that knew his strengths, knew his weaknesses, and he you know, went off his strengths, and it really did well for him. And, you know, Luke Lipsius is, in my opinion, the most underrated player in the past 5 years that I've played with. You know, the home run record is his and well-deserved. He's done it in over 100 at-bats, less than I have. So he was on a tear these past 2 years. So, you know, the career that he has and Redmond has had, it's – they should be able to look back and think nothing but positivity.
Most career games in the Tennessee uniform belongs to you. What does that mean to you? And the fact that you're able to get past Pete.
Yeah. Man, Pete Durkee, he was the ultimate Vol. You know, he went through a lot of struggles, but, you know, he ended up having a mentality and create a mentality that I thought he'd never have, and he became kind of a man in about 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I think that is a testament to him. And he was able to keep fighting and keep finding ways to get into the lineup. And, you know, he had a great career here. But to be able to have the most games played, you know, it's kind of unreal to look back in my freshman year and think, you know, that a lot of people thought that, you know, that it made no sense for me to go to Tennessee, but for some reason I really wanted to. I got the opportunity, and, you know, even if I didn't think I was going to make the team, you know, to look back and say that I ended up passing the great Todd Helton in home runs, and I ended up having the most games played at Tennessee, it was something I don't think a lot of people expected.
So comments from Evan Russell. And Vince, if folks would want to hear our entire conversations, Jimmy and me with both Redmond Walsh and Evan Russell, you and I were able to catch up with Luke. Where could they find those bad boys?
You can find them in multiple places. One, you can go to the podcast tab at the top, and the drop-down menu will take you to wherever you want to go, Sports Talk. Also, the shows tab, you can go to the Sports Talk show page there as well. Scroll down to the middle of the page. There's all of our podcasts and in the all-inclusive WNML all-audio main channel that's there as well. You can subscribe to any of those individual shows or the station show on any of the major platforms that you might listen to on your device. So they're on all of them, but it's always on our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. Sports Talk today is at Freedom Motors, where their Freedom Celebration is going on until 9 o'clock, and everything is set up. You've got the axe throwing. You've got the cornhole tournament that'll be starting at 6 o'clock, just $5 to enter. And, Vince, they've got so many incredible vehicles all around the lot. This is your one-stop shop. You can find that vehicle you need to get you to work. You can find that vehicle to entertain the family, go camping, even get on the water.
Yep, absolutely. Great variety here. And, man, the vendors, the giveaways. We've had some of their incredible food already. Goodwin south of the river, the ribs that they're cooking up in the grill over here. Man, they got it all. You're totally set up here at Freedom Motors.
Freedom Motors, 7665 Manorville Pike. Check them out online at freedommotorstn.com. Up next, your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6 on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.